Thank you very much. Let me start by asking you this. I think you've alluded to this in your last comments. Mm-hmm. There was a study published in the Annals just very recently, I believe is out of China, looking at lupus mm-hmm. and using multiple target therapy yes. mm-hmm. as opposed to single target therapy. Do you think we should be exploring more of the use of combination therapy, targeting A, B, and C in, mm-hmm. in minimal change, C, D, and E
yes.
in FSGS, et cetera?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's very interesting. With a lot of these diseases, what we see is sort of heterogeneity in the pathology. And so for a single disease histological finding, so for FSGS, there may be multiple ways that people are getting there. For lupus disease, I think we tend to put that in one category, but there may be multiple ways that these individuals get there. There are some interesting trials that are coming along that are looking at multiple therapies. For instance, there's some interest in looking at belimumab therapy in addition to rituximab, so anti-CD20, and blocking a substance called BLyS, which promotes B-cell apoptosis. And I think that what we have to make sure that we understand first, and I think the part that is a little bit unsettling, is the fact that we don't understand all the different ways that these individual drugs work. And so I think that, you know, we need, and especially in lupus in particular, we don't have great animal models. We do have some. But I think that the challenge is that we have drugs that work in multiple different places, and so we really have to be cautious about that. The early studies looking at belimumab and rituximab together, there was a concern that some of the animal models had no germinal centers. So you really, really do have to be very careful about that. But I think that now we understand some other ways to make that a little more safe.
So yes, maybe Fred. We could go back to the patient you presented in the beginning and ask you to answer that question. Because mm-hmm. my understanding of the rituximab data is for nephrotic syndrome that it works for patients who are steroid resistant, people who were, you know, relapsing nephrotic syndrome.
Correct.
Even recurrence. That's where most of the data is.
Mm-hmm.
So in someone who has not responded to steroids or to calcineurin inhibitors, what would be the next step if you're not enrolling them in the clinical trial?
Yeah, I think we're still very early in this. You asked me if that patient is in front of me, is doing things to slow them down from getting to you. I think the focus is on reducing the proteinuria. So just like we talked about cyclosporin, it's not really the immunomodulation. It's can you protect those podocytes? Can we slow the progression of glomerulosclerosis? I am still not giving up on the anti-B7-1 story. I think that we're going to hear some more about that. But right now, you know, I think in terms of rituximab, I think you're exactly right. The data that's the most positive is really in those patients that are steroid responsive. Right now, in those patients that are steroid resistant, we still have a ways to go. I have a lot of optimism for some of these other novel pathways, the protein kinase C inhibit, the protein P38 MAPK inhibitors, endothelin inhibitors, perhaps. Moving into very different pathways may help us with some of these very difficult to control patients.